Couple of announcements. We plan on having youth group here tonight. Stitches of Love is happening this week. We'll keep you posted on Tuesday mornings. It's not going to be this week, but that's coming soon. And also, do we have anything to announce with the young adult group yet, or just that a tease that it's coming? It's coming. There you go. That's even better than like giving you all the information. I'm not sure if there's any other announcements. I do like to let you know that we are live streaming today, which means be on your best behavior. Anyway, I'll try to be on my best behavior as well. In case you don't know, most of the time we record on Fridays, and that's what people see online. And but thank you to Russ for live streaming us this morning. And I want to say a big thank you to everyone who pitched in while Heidi and I were gone. We had a great trip, which I will tell you more about. Thank you for Sean for preaching this past Sunday, and also for being ready to preach this morning, because it looked like I wasn't going to make it. But again, I'll tell you all about that. I'm going to try to get you to listen. And I have to say this. Heidi arrived home this morning. It was around 8 o'clock when she got home. She flew home on a red eye. We weren't on the same flight. That's a whole other story. But so she has grace today. If she falls asleep, let her fall asleep for about 5 minutes and then poke her and wake her up. Yeah, I mean, I think that's only reasonable. I'm really glad that she's here. And I saw a hand. We've got one further. So the Tuesday morning group will be meeting at Wendy's on Ogden at 11. Okay. I could say something about 11 o'clock lunch, but I'm not going to say anything about that. Not. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward, and excited to be together to worship our Lord, our Savior, our God. Heavenly Father, we present ourselves to you. You are the God. You're the God of the storm. You're the God of wonderful sunny days. You're the God of peace. You're the God that walks us through valleys. And each and every one of us is at a different place today. And you are able to meet us where we are at. I pray you would do that. And now we ask that you would help us to give our hearts afresh and anew to you through musical worship. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Just how beautiful you are and how great your God, right now, as we just think about how much it is that you love us. God, I pray that this morning it touches us at the soul level. I don't know who's in the room right now or who's listening, but maybe you've never experienced the kind of love that you truly need from an earthly parent. Maybe you've never felt close like you felt like you should have been close to an earthly friend. But I want to tell you that the love of God is that love that we truly need. And God, I pray that you remind each and every man, woman, and child in this place this morning that there is no other love that's greater than your love. And that, Father, in order for us to even begin to love each other, that we need to first be connected to the one who is the source of love, and that's you, Lord. So we thank you for that this morning, God, and I pray that if anyone's here and they haven't experienced your love, I pray that they experience it this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's a blessing to be here and to see you today. I know Pastor Paul made mentions about the outings and everything like that. I just want to say thank you so much to the young adults that came out on Friday night because we had our second summer event. If you're a young adult in here, can you make a little noise? A few of them. Awesome. We're going to be having our young adult small group that we'll be launching in sometime in September, but we'll go ahead and give you updates on that at a later time. Really quick, I'm going to go ahead and pass things over to Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Sean. I just wanted to step in here because during greeting time today, you're going to see some images from our trip to Alaska. So there'll be some things from Alaska and possibly from Canada as well. I hope you enjoy them. I didn't want to take a whole lot of time during the service. But greet someone nearby you, shake somebody's hand you've never met before. If you're watching online, knock on a neighbor's door, and check out the photos.
All right, if you can go ahead and return to your seats, get that last drop of coffee in there, come on in. If you are a kid that's under 12 and you have not went downstairs yet, we are having children's ministry, so you can make your way downstairs. I want to mention one last thing, and Pastor Paul's going to come up and start. We're going to have a QR code come up on the screen, so if you would like and if you are able, you can take your phone and you can scan that QR code. And you can fill out some of that information whenever you get a chance. That's how we can connect with you. That's how we can check in with you. And that's also how we can pass information back and forth in an organized way. The QR code is also out in the lobby. So if you don't have a chance to do it now, you can do that also after service. It's in the little laminate area. So if you have a phone, you can go ahead and scan that. That way you have it, and it'll just take a few seconds. All right, God bless you guys. I'm going to go ahead and ask Pastor Paul to come on up.
Well, it's good to be here, especially since there were points where I really wondered if I was going to be able to be here. But excited to continue Psalms for Summer this morning. Heidi and I had a great trip to Alaska. You got to see a few of the images there. We got to experience the beauty of creation in all sorts of different ways. I'm going to talk a little bit about God's providence, about how four couples came together in December to plan a trip for August. And you know how hard it is to get schedules together. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to look at a psalm today about how God reveals himself through creation. Scripture is replete with examples about how God reveals who he is through creation, but also through his word. And there's more depth that we get through his word. And we live in an age where God has given us his Holy Spirit. We really live in the age of the Holy Spirit. And that is just awesome because we can connect with God via His Spirit, which not everyone has been able to do through the ages. Now, here's kind of a warning that if you miss the first one, if you reject creation, if you just kind of say, it's an accident, it might not seem like a huge deal, but it is, because you're very likely to miss the next two stages of revelation. If you don't believe that God created the world, you don't believe that there's a creator who can be known, then from there, you probably reject His word, and you probably won't get further revelation by the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19, it says this: "They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God." But you and I both know that there's a lot of people who just kind of say, the jury's kind of out. It might seem like a small thing, but it's not. Because rejecting the revelation of God through creation keeps us from truly getting to know God. And most of the people who would say that they don't accept necessarily that there's a creator would say they're agnostic, which means I don't know. And God wants us to know. And you can know. You will very likely never get to the second and third level of revelation if you reject the first. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person who hears this whenever they hear it. And I pray in a unique way for those that are present here this morning. And I know something of so many of the people's stories here, but I don't know everything, but You do. And so I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be pleasing to You this morning, and that they might touch Your people for Your kingdom's sake. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So back to December. Heidi had talked to a couple of old friends. I'm not saying they're old, but I think Heidi was the youngest person on the trip. But folks, she's known for a while, and the idea, Heidi and I have talked about it for a while, to do an Alaskan cruise. Yeah, we're at the point, when we say bucket list, we want to enjoy some things while we think we can enjoy them maybe more. I guess it is bucket list time. And all four of us decided the trip cost enough so we wouldn't buy insurance. But try to imagine getting four couples to agree. Also, we did it in less than 24 hours. We found the right cruise, and we all gave the deposit in like 20 hours. That's just unheard of. That just doesn't happen. Well, in the meantime, as I said, Heidi's the youngest person. She's very, very young. I was the third oldest person out of the eight of us. Needless to say, there were multiple health issues between the eight of us. If you're people around our age, you get that. There were some very serious health issues, not only for the eight of us, but also for some of our children. And then there was death, there was loss. And there was one parent that was very close to death, and probably if he didn't pass away, one of the couples might not have been able to have gone on the trip. There were legal battles. And then finally, three of the couples went in advance. We went up to Denali. One came a little bit later. And as we were waiting for them to come, the day they were flying, we were all excited to text them. We found out they're coming on United, that United got shut down that day. They were one of the very last flights out. So we all got there. And so from the very beginning, we sensed God's providence and sovereignty, that He wanted this to happen. So one of the other things, many of you know that I went on a hiking trip up to Alaska last month. It's just the way that it worked out. But there were some providential things with that as well. When I was up there before, Craig and I went to Denali National Park and to Mount McKinley State Park. McKinley and Denali are the same thing, and you don't have to argue politically over it, but it is the same thing. But they say that only 30% of the people that come to Alaska to see Denali see it. And then I said that to somebody, they're like, well, that's if you spread it out over the whole year, but nobody comes in winter when it's easy to see it. So the real percentage is more like 19% of the people see it. I'm like, oh. So I said to Craig, because Craig came up with me, we hiked, and then I came home, his wife and daughter came up, and I literally prayed this. I said, Lord, we'd love to see it, but if You could work it out for Craig and his wife and daughter to see it, and for me and my wife and my friends to see it, we'd prefer that over Craig and I seeing it. He answered that prayer exactly. Now, it was cloudy when we were there, and we never got a chance to see it. But the day that we went back, when Heidi and I were there with our friends, the server at this lodge told us, this is like maybe three times in the summer do you get to see it like this. So I want to show you just some images here, and I want to tell you a couple things about it. That is Mount McKinley, Denali, right there. Now, it might not seem that impressive, but it has the greatest prominence of any mountain in the world, greater than K2 or Everest. I believe Mount Rainier is very close to it. Prominence means how much of the mountain you can see above everything else around it. And so it's just head and shoulders above everything else. Now, this picture is taken from the national park. And the picture does not do it justice. It's so majestic. But this is 70 miles away. The national park is 70 miles away from it. They preserve it. They don't want you to get too close to it. These other pictures were taken from the state park. So we're going to be a little closer. This is only 40 miles away. But in order to see it, in order for God to reveal it to you, and that's going to be part of what we're talking about today, is things have to happen right. And in this case, there can't be any clouds where you're at. It has to be totally clear where you're at. And it has to be totally clear 70 or 40 miles away with nothing in between. And that's why most people never get a chance to see it. A couple more images. It's just this incredible white monolith. It doesn't do it justice, but they were just saying you don't see it like this in the summer. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you because God has a way of revealing things to us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. God has a way of revealing things, especially through Scripture and nature. Let's take a look at Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 19, 1 through 6. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, without a word, day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other, and nothing can hide from its heat. So much that I could say just about this. Immanuel Kant, a philosopher, not necessarily a devout follower of Christ. People could debate that, I suppose. But I read a quote by him very recently, and he talked about two things that speak of the fact that there has to be a God: our creation and the moral code that is within us, the fact that we have this innate sense of what's right and wrong. Now, we can dim that, but it's there. C.S. Lewis, in many different ways, talked about how nature reveals the glory of God and how great God is. There's also Abraham Lincoln, one of, if not my favorite American, said, I can understand how some people can look at the earth and say perhaps there's not a creator, but how anyone could also look at the heavens and come to that conclusion, he said, I will never, ever understand. So on our trip, we saw mountains. We saw ice fields, glaciers. They're a little bit different. There was one picture of this. It's the largest glacier, the Hubbard Glacier, that goes into water. And I'd read that it was, I thought it said 30 feet tall. It's 30 stories tall. It's like 7 miles wide. And from a distance, I was saying that to my friends and some other people, and they're like, wait a minute, no, you can't be 30 stories tall. And then they send out this little boat. And it goes out there, and as it gets closer and people get binoculars out, they look at me and they go, it is 30 stories tall. It was just absolutely amazing, and I was glad that I had the right information. We saw waterfalls. I mean, who doesn't like a good waterfall? They're just awesome. When, I forget where it was that we were sailing, in jellyfish just all over the place. We saw seals. We saw salmon. I mean, at one point right by the ship, we were... And there were seals that were trying to get the salmon. It was very interesting to watch. But you look at the water, and every once in a while, the water would all turn white because the salmon are thrashing away from the seal. But every once in a while, the water is just clear enough you could see it had to be a couple of hundred salmon just lurking around right under the water. We saw deer, we saw moose, we saw eagles, fjords. Creation. Came up with a few stats here, what God has made. Plant life. There are over 375,000 different types of plants. Although in Alaska, I think the one that's most popular right now, how do you pronounce it? Cannabis? Cannabis. I think that's the number one. Yeah. They sell it everywhere. You guys know what I'm talking about. Okay. Ants. Do you know how many kinds of ants there are? There are 13,800 species of ants. I mean, that's one of those things, maybe a billion years from now, I'll be talking to God. Could you invest a little more elsewhere? I mean, I'm just thinking. But ants do, I mean, they do some incredible things. There are over 11,000 species of birds. That's just amazing. We saw some incredible birds in, along with the eagles. Spiders. I did this research on 51,000 species of spiders. Some of you want to have a little chat with God right now about that. 33,000 species of fish, just absolutely amazing. 10,000 plus of mammal or of reptiles. 6,500 species of mammals. You know, I was going through all that stuff, and it's like the diversity and creativity of God is beyond compare. And then I just kind of felt the Holy Spirit tap me on the shoulder. But there's only one human race. One. We're the pinnacle of God's creation. I'm not bragging. This is what the Word of God says. We alone are made in His image. Now, we learn things from other things in creation. We didn't really not see bears on this trip. Oh, there was one other animal, so I'll tell you about in a moment. But and I think most of the people on this trip didn't want to have a bear encounter. I've had some bear encounters. They can your adrenaline's going for some time. But I try to imagine, like, why did God make all these creatures? And it's fascinating. When we were at Denali, we watched this movie because they still use dog sleds. It's one of the only places in the world. But in the middle of winter, it is very, very cold there. And they say that you really can't start a snowmobile at 40 below zero, but those Alaskan Huskies, they start up just fine. And then we got to see a little show, and they pulled this sled around. The first one was Manny. The first dog in the dog sled team was Manny. The first one by the cart. So actually the back one, but the first one in front of the person. This boy was hyper. Before they started, he was just jumping in the air. And then when it was all over, they sit him down so they can be there and we can look at him while they lecture about him. And the lecture was fantastic. He starts digging a hole. He starts doing all these other things. And then he was quietly escorted away to the doghouse. I guess. But Manny, man, that animal had power and strength. But then they let us go and pet the puppies. And it was just fantastic. But the beauty of God's creation, we can learn so much about God through it. God is not only, if there's creation, there is a creator. A creator who is wise enough to plan it. I mean, when I think of the planning that has to go into creating a planet, every ecosystem, it's so far beyond me. And then the solar system, the universe, you get what I'm saying. And then he's wise enough to plan it, powerful enough to execute the plan, and he does it by his word. And then he maintains it and sustains it. It's absolutely amazing. So God created the universe, but who is he? And see, that's where, if we just stop there, we understand that he's beyond us, but we don't get to know him. But God's word is how he reveals himself to us. Friends, here and online, what's your relationship with God's word? Do you read God's word? Some people say, I don't believe the Bible. I love to ask people like that. Have you read it? Well, not exactly. I haven't. That's like me. I really don't believe in trigonometry. Well, I should say I'll never use trigonometry. I won't. Every morning, essentially every morning, most mornings the weather allowed for me to just be out on our balcony and to see creation. And I just started reading a one-year Bible again. I haven't done it for a while, and I'm using a new version. It's actually a version Sean normally preaches out of, the ESV. And it's just fun for me to read a different version and just to soak up God's Word kind of in mass. If you've never read a one-year Bible, and you know what? I'm reading, I'm a few days behind. I won't get done in 365 days. I read other things as well. Do you know what? Right now, I absolve you of all guilt if you've ever fallen behind in a devotional. Don't worry about it. Just read it. What does Scripture answer? Who is God? Why did God do what he's done? This is a Psalm of David, so he's about to lay some knowledge on us about what we can find out from God. What is God's character? I mean, you can't figure out necessarily God's character just from creation. And here's another thing that we need Scripture for. Who am I? Remember Supertramp asking that question a long time ago from the Logical song? Some of you are like, I do. God can help you to understand who you are in relationship to other people, in relationship to him and your environment. In verse 1 of that we just read, it mentions the word Elohim. He refers to God as Elohim, which refers to the power of God. But over those next verses that we just read, 7 times it uses the word Jehovah. Now we'd say, okay, Jehovah, Yahweh, same thing. It's the 4 letters with no vowels and all that. What does it speak to? It speaks to covenant. This was his covenant name. What does that mean? Personal revelation. Let me ask you something today. Do you desire revelation from God? And I think the reason why sometimes people fear it is that God's going to ask us to do something we don't want to do. But God wants to communicate with you. I wonder if you believe that this morning, because he really does. Well, in verse 1, the first time that he uses the word Jehovah, it says that, let me go back to the, I'll just highlight some things here. Uses in 6 different verses, he uses that word Jehovah, but he uses it in different ways. The first one, you know what, actually I'm ahead of myself. I wrote this on the jet yesterday, and I'll get to some of this later, but it took me a long time to get home. I didn't think at one point I was going to make it home. And as I'm writing this, how many of you have seen the movie Planes, Trains, Automobiles? I lived a lot of that the last couple days. But I had an empty seat next to me, and the person on the window was saying, you know, if you can, you know, try to, it's like, oh yeah, I'll be as big as I can. I won't make eye contact. But this guy sits down. He wasn't a real big guy. Wasn't tall. Wasn't, he sat down, like his elbow was like in my ribs the whole time. I mean, the whole flight, his elbow. And then he fell asleep. I mean, just like Planes, Trains, Automobiles. If he put his head on my shoulder, that wasn't going to happen. But the other thing about this guy, and I just got to say this, and then I'll be done with this guy. Are there certain colognes you don't like? It's a new one. I smelled it on the ship, but this guy must have spilled a bottle of it on himself. If you want to know what it smells like, just come close to me, because I've showered, I've changed my clothes, but I'm sure I still smell like this guy. And he's leaning next to me, and he's doing this, and he falls, and I'm just like, Jesus, you got to help me write this message. So I'm saying maybe the message isn't perfectly constructed. Not that it ever is. Anyway, okay, verse 7. We've got it right up here. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. What version are we in here? Is this NLT? Okay. No, I think that's it. I think it's the same. Yep. Okay, so instructions there. Instructions. The word there would be Torah, and that's the law. That's the law. It's teaching. It's direction. How many of us need direction? We need instruction. The second one that it says there, this says decrees. It speaks to the testimonies of God. It's God's story. God wants to tell his story through us. You know, one of the great things about knowing Jesus is that he's ahead of us. Don't you like to have somebody who knows what they're doing, where they're going? So one of the unique things about this trip, I'm not a type A personality. I don't have to be in charge of everything. But I had a unique quality when we went up to Denali. I'd been there 3 weeks earlier. I knew the restaurants. Don't eat there. You might want to eat over here. I'd been to the resorts where we were going. I didn't stay there, but I'd seen them. I knew where they were at. And I think it was so helpful to the rest of the group and just gave them like a sense of, oh, we know where we're going. How many times do we not know where we're going, and that causes anxiety? That's what some of the stress that I had this last weekend, not knowing if I was going to be able to make it here. We have, through the Word of God, something that's tried, tested, true, and God goes before us. And I was very pleased to be able to offer that on the trip. Let's read ahead, verse 8. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. When we follow the commands of God, a lot of times we're like, man, that's just like the law. The point here is God wants to give us the grace to follow the commands so we can have the blessings of obedience. God wants to give us the details that we need for everyday life, how to live. How do I deal with this situation? God can speak to us through the Word. I was asking someone about a devotional guide recently. I asked them if they liked it. They didn't say that they liked it, but they said, well, each day it spoke to them. It's kind of like, yeah, it might not have been exactly what you wanted to hear, but it's what you needed to hear. It's cool how God's able to do that. And let's read verse 9. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fear, is pure. Fair. I thought I said that this. Yeah. I didn't get that much sleep last night. More than Heidi, but. So, the fear of the Lord. Do you respect God's word? We live in an age, I'll just be honest, and God really spoke to me about this. We live in an age where people don't. I'm going to let my silence speak there. We live in an age where people do not respect the word of God. They feel free to say, God said that, but I don't think so. I don't want to stand before God, and I've told you many times, I don't have a right to just tell you anything I want when I stand behind the pulpit. I was called to preach the word of God. But we live in an age where people say, no, God didn't say that. We need to have a healthy respect for God. It talks, so let me just bring up one other thing. A lot of times people talk about freedom today. So we took this train from this town of Skagway. Now Skagway, it's on an inner passageway. So we come into the port and you take the train up into the mountains. And when you're on this train, they say it's a narrow track. It's only like, I don't know, like 30 inches or something. And it rattles. They said, it's normal for it to rattle. And it's like, is it normal for those rocks to be like this close to me out the window? It's like, I didn't like Heidi sitting in front of me as it's getting close to those rocks. But the truth of the matter is that it's guided by those tracks. And it's tried, tested, and true. And I don't think any train has ever hit. But where is that train most free? On the tracks or just out in the middle of a meadow somewhere? Well, it's more free to accomplish what it's meant to accomplish when it's right there on those narrow tracks. So how much do you desire God's word? So why was this train there? As a matter of fact, we were told that this train was put in 2 years by people that just, it was in the 1800s. I don't know how they got the rock out of the way. You know, they had to cut through the rock. They did it with picks and axes. The government came in later to put a road in on the other side. It took them 50 years. So these people were motivated, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But they wanted something that they thought that they could never get. Now, let me just throw in one more thing from the cruise. I don't normally eat dessert, but this place is called Scoops. You got it. They had ice cream. And somebody said they had good ice cream over there. And so I don't know what possessed me, but I went over to have dessert, which you can ask my wife. I hardly ever have dessert. And I saw they had mint chocolate chip. I'm like, I used to like mint chocolate chip. Just one scoop. Just one scoop. I don't want too much. I think it was called After Eight or something. Oh, my goodness. You know, sometimes you get mint chocolate chip, the ice cream's hard and the chips are not really there. This was like the smoothest, creamiest ice cream, wonderful mint, and just like chocolate veins running through it that were hard and crunchy, dark chocolate. It's amazing. And I went back every day after that. No, we don't have it anymore. You can't do that to me. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find that stuff. But it's like the forbidden fruit. Some, I think most of you have already figured out why Skagway Railway got in so quickly to take them up to Yukon and Klondike. These people lived in what's called the Valley of Misery. One winter they got 100 feet of snow, but they put up with it. They had 7,000 horses, the guide said. To get across this one, I think it was called Dead Horse Gulch. Gee, I wonder who came up with that name. 700 horses, only 30 of them survived. The horses are like, we're going on strike. Long, dark winters, brief summers. Why? I think I heard somebody say it. Gold. They're going for gold. Yukon gold. Klondike gold. You want a Klondike gold bar? That's what these people were after. They would do anything. They risked their lives. Many of them got nothing. And even if you did get gold, how safe do you think you're going to be? You're going to call the sheriff? I don't think so. This is the wild and woolly Northwest. But people who had nothing were willing to risk everything. What does the Word of God say? Let's take a look at verse 10. Speaking about the Word of God, they are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than that ice cream that I had. No, than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. What's your relationship with God's Word? See, and here's the upside. If we seek after God, it's not like with the gold, you might find it, you might not. You might perish. Your horse might die, you might freeze to death in the winter, you might go through all that hardship, and you might get nothing. But if you seek after God, you will find him. Jesus promised, if you seek, you will find. He's referring to himself. Let's take a look at verse 19:11. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward to those who obey him. If you obey God, you are rewarded. It's like you do find the gold. In verse 12. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? It's like it says in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? So often we can't even understand our own hearts. But how can we know the sins that are lurking within us? God's Word. That's what it says in Hebrews 4:12. It lays it out for us. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the very division of our inner person, like a scalpel in a surgeon's hand, but only God can do it. Let's take a look at verse 13. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I'll be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. I remember someone I had a great deal of respect for who pointed out here that when we deliberately sin, we open ourselves up to those sins controlling us. We have another word for that, addiction. But when we rebel against what we know to be true, we open ourselves up to being controlled by that, and it masters us. I'm going to say something really simple and basic, but it's true. If you seek God, he will reveal himself. But if you don't, he won't. Now, to some degree, we need his grace in coming to us. And he doesn't necessarily reveal himself to us when we expect it. Sometimes it's very unexpected, and those are wonderful grace moments. So after the earlier trip to Alaska, I think I told you about Wrangell St. Elias National Park. It's the size of Maryland. It's larger than 9 states. It's huge. Denali has the second tallest mountain in North America and about 6 others that are way up there. It has roads that when you rent a car, they make you sign, I will not go on the road that takes me there. There's only 12 trails in the whole park. Here's the deal. Wrangell St. Elias National Park. You won't see it or experience it by accident. You have to be incredibly intentional. Helicopter, that'll work. Airplane, yep, or boat. One of the cool things about our cruise is as we headed out of Seward and headed down the coast, I wasn't expecting it, but then we got to see Wrangell St. Elias National Park. I'd seen it hundreds of miles away. I forgot, it's the size of Maryland. And we got to see some of the mountains that were there, but the only way you get to see them is by boat. It's not by accident. Friends, you won't see and experience Jesus by accident. There will be grace moments. He does come to us sometimes when we don't expect him. I'm not saying that. But most of us are people that are choosing to follow him. We need to intentionally seek him. Like I was talking about with McKinley or Denali, it's almost like it has to choose to reveal itself to you. And it's a grace and it's a blessing. So our cruise was all sunshines and lollipops. Not exactly. You know, we had some mundane days. And it was kind of funny because we'd have this spectacular day and the sun was out. And then the next day, it's just rainy and dreary, and you couldn't see a whole lot. And, you know, you get through those, you're on an Alaskan cruise, it's all good. But friends, a lot of you are going through some ordinary days. You're going through some mundane days. Some of you are saying, I'm just not getting it right now. So Friday, we got to Vancouver, and we thought, this is supposed to be one of the most beautiful cities, so we're going to stay on here. Hotels are expensive, but it'll all be worth it. So I had a guy giving me a ride, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. But he said, that was like the worst day we've ever had in August. That's what he said. He said, it never rains like that in August. You couldn't see anything. We just kind of sat inside the whole day. And so I was flying home yesterday morning. Heidi was taking the red eye last night because I wanted to be well rested and everything to be here. And so my best flight I could get was on Air Canada. Now, most of you probably aren't aware of this, but I can tell some of you are. Air Canada was kind of in the news recently. And we heard that they were going on strike. When are they going? Well, it looks like they're going to strike on Saturday morning. I'm like, could you change that just a little bit? All day long on Friday, I'm checking in on my app. It says, you know, be here at this time. They're sending me updates. It's good to go. Until finally they said, we have a labor issue. We're not going anywhere. Okay. Well, if the largest airline in Canada goes down and it's a weekend and all the cruise ships are coming in and every flight's already filled and now you get my point. I was like, how in the world am I going to get back to Chicago? I know some of you are like, just get on Heidi's flight. Not a chance. There's not a chance I'm getting on that flight. So I start thinking, how am I going to do this? And you start thinking about costs, and they're supposed to reimburse you and all this stuff. And I'm leaving out a lot of details, but it was stressful. But then it finally dawned on me. If I don't get out of Vancouver today or as soon as possible, I'm going to be here for several days, and that's going to cost a lot of money. So I got to be willing to spend a lot of money to get out of here. So I'm driving the shuttle over to the airport, and my guy, A-10. A-10 hears me talking to somebody on the phone, and I'm saying I'm trying to get a rental car. And he's like, you're trying to get to Seattle? I said, yeah. He goes, I got a guy. I got a guy that can drive you there. How much? And I'm just like, this isn't a king's ransom, okay? It's just, I just want to get to Seattle. It was a lot of money. So I go in, I deal with Air Canada, no luck, absolutely no luck whatsoever. But then I start thinking, if I have to spend three more nights here, what's that amount of money? So I get back with A-10. He gets me in touch with his friend, Rock. And A-10 tells me, while you were in there, this other group from Chicago, interestingly enough, needed a ride to the cruise port. But they had one too many people. He couldn't accommodate them. Otherwise, he wouldn't be available for you. So Rock drives me. I just decide I'm going to pay the money. I'll get to Seattle. Southwest will fly me to St. Louis. And then Southwest will fly me to Chicago. I'm home. There you go. I get to the airport, and I'm texting the elders and Sean to let them know I might not make it. And one of our elders keeps saying something like, you know, something about, I got a guy in St. Louis if you have any trouble. I'm like, I don't want to drive from St. Louis. What are you talking about? I get to the airport, plenty of time. Rock gets me there. He's driving like about 105 miles an hour. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, but I make it there, and I'm number 14 in line for Southwest. I can see the gate. It's right there. And we're going to begin boarding in just a minute. They kept saying it, and then they said, well, there's a problem with the door. Oh, no, there can't be a problem with the door. Not with the door. And those are important. And then should just be a minute. Then he comes out and goes, it's going to be an hour. And I'm just like, there goes my flight to Chicago. Then Heidi texts me, the strike has been solved. I'm like, well, that's helpful. I'm not upset at Heidi, but I'm just the irony of it that at the moment I know that my plan isn't going to work. Not that I could get back to Air Canada, and they're going to be messed up for a while. So I contacted Butch, and Butch just insisted. He was down visiting his daughter, and he said, you can take my car, and I'll come back on the train the next day. I argued with him a little bit, and he said, I'm just showing up at the airport. And so after another hour of getting our suitcases, because they were supposed to go to Chicago, I got in Butch's car, sat down, and I drove, and I made it. 8 o'clock to midnight, 4 hours, it's what it said. It was exactly 4 hours. Part of the story is this. How many of you are right in the middle of something right now, and it's way more complicated than what I just said? And you don't know how you're going to make it. Jesus wants to make a way for you. Don't give up. Jesus wants to make a way for you. One more story, really. I was, one of the first mornings that Heidi and I were there, woke up, and I was just very grateful just to be able to be on this like trip of a lifetime. And as much as I'm going to say to you that God reveals himself through creation and through his word more profoundly, that I can't explain it, but God reveals himself through his spirit. And he spoke to me about a passage of scripture that I've read many, many times before. Well, there's a picture of my mom and dad. How about that? How sweet is that? And I was thinking about Philip and Thomas. I'm going to share something out of John chapter 1. I didn't send all the verses to Russ because some of this came about a little bit later. But in John chapter 1, Andrew, who is Peter's brother, hangs out with Jesus one day. And the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, I'm sorry, let me just back up. I'll just pick up there. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets spoke about. His name is Jesus. Now, how much do you know about Philip? The answer is not much. He helped out with the feeding of the 5,000. But John knew him. John knew him from the very beginning. And when John is an old man and he pens his gospel, two of the people that he quotes are Philip and Thomas. And I've always taken it as a rebuke. And as I woke up in Denali just recently, I just saw it completely differently. Completely differently. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 3, when everything is ready, I will come and get you, so you'll always be with me where I am. And we love that, and I preach on that all the time. And then Thomas said, no, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? And then Jesus says the famous line, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And then he says what sounds like a rebuke, but I really don't believe it is, and I see it in a new light. If you really had known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, have you been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone has seen me has seen the Father. And I'm going to try to put into words what God spoke to me about that. See, John was in the inner circle. You know, when there was just three of them, Peter, James, and John, John was there. John was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was closer to Jesus in Gethsemane. How do you think Philip felt? He was one of the original. He spent time with Jesus from the very beginning. He's introducing Nathanael. He's in on the ground level, but he feels this distance. You ever feel a distance between you and God? You ever have those mundane days and you don't think you can get where you want to get to, and it just seems like Jesus is speaking in riddles and you don't understand the preacher and all kinds of stuff. But Thomas and Philip were honest enough, and John includes this, thinking like 50 years later, John still remembered those questions by his friends. And I think Philip especially, because he gives us insight. It doesn't seem like a lot, but I think it's great. What's Jesus saying? Some of you today would say, I'm just an ordinary dad. Some of you would say, I'm an okay mom. I'm a praying grandmother. I don't know. I don't know if I really get Jesus sometimes. Jesus was saying to Philip and Thomas, you do get me. You think you don't, but you do. You think you don't understand the Father, but you do. It's as simple as knowing me. It's as simple as knowing me. You do know him. I think this is a word for so many followers of Jesus. I hear it a lot. People ask me, oh, do you know so-and-so? And it's like, I don't. Well, he's a really famous Christian. I'm like, I don't know who it is. And I don't listen to a lot of preachers because I have, I don't know, about 8-10 authors that I like a lot. I like to read and I can make notes. And I don't care if people are famous. I really don't. But I do care if people seem to be really into Jesus. And I'm not saying anything against the famous ones. But I think most of you would say, oh, I'm not that famous Christian. And I think Philip and Thomas felt that way sometimes. I'm not in the inner circle. And Jesus would say to you, you do get me. No, your life's not perfect and you have hardship and there's things that you don't understand. But from now on, you do know me. Trust that you do know me. Some of you are just a little too humble. I know that's kind of hard to understand sometimes. But sometimes we think, that promise is for somebody else. Today, Jesus wants to say to some of you, that promise is for you. Grab a hold of it. You do know me, Jesus is saying. You do walk with me through the mundane, through the ordinary days. The final two verses were ones that I memorized when I was in college. And you might have heard me say that before. I kind of memorize verses sometimes almost by default. But let's go ahead and put the final two verses, 13 and 14, up there. And I remember memorizing them this way. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Actually, I went to 14. Let's just do 14. I already did 13. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I think a lot of people had fun in college. I had fun in my summers. I went on mission trips. But college was not a fun time for me. There's a lot of stuff that went wrong in my family during those years. But I had a couple of friends that were really into Jesus, and I was into Jesus, and I'd memorize things like this. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Friends, that's still my meditation. That's still the goal. May the stuff that happens here and here be pleasing to you. I'm more acquainted with my sinfulness now than I was then. But I say, especially to the younger people here, make this a memory verse for yourself. You face so many challenges in the culture, the world that we live. And some of you might say, well, I really don't yet. You will at some point. But I think the reason I've survived spiritually is the foundation that God laid in my heart and my life when I first came to him when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I was reading some of this I was pulling it up on my phone when I once I crossed the border of the United States, I could get some cell coverage. And I had to look over at my driver, and I told him, I was a preacher, I told him why I was trying to get home. And I told him that his name was in the final verse that I was preaching on, my rock and my redeemer. He's like, he liked that. It's just the two final words. Jesus wants some of you to know you're questioning things. You're like Thomas. You're like Philip, and you're just saying you need a little more. And Jesus is saying, trust what you've got. I am with you. You know me better than you think you do. I see my fruit in your life. Don't give up. Especially for young people, but it's for all of us. Make this your goal, that the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart wouldn't get responses on social media. They'd make the heart of God happy. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a world that in so many ways does not honor you, but we choose to do that this morning. And there are many ways that all of us have fallen short and we haven't honored you. And I start with myself. Forgive us, cleanse us, and renew our minds. Father, if there's anybody here, anybody online who doesn't know you as their Savior, that's the point of all of this. You gave us creation so that we could get a glimpse into who you were, so we would come after you. We would come after you like gold. Lord, today, may we do that, and may we find you. Call upon Jesus as Savior and Lord, and he'll reveal himself. We pray all this in your name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. Let's pray.
Trust in God, my Savior. My risen.
kind of a postscript that it's a pretty crazy story for me how I ended up getting home and that God got me here. But he used the kindness of a human being. How many people would just show up in an airport and say, here, take my car? So all the bad things I've ever said about you, Butch, I take them back. We have a great group of elders here, and you know, I kind of wanted to say no, and I was trying to say no, but he just showed up and gave me his car. So know that God uses you when you do things like that. And I do apologize for, I do feel that this was a little more disjointed, but I have someone to blame. It's the guy with the bad cologne. And I just wanted to tell you one more thing, and I'll be out of here. At the end, they said, if you've got a connecting flight, and half of us were like, I had one, it's gone already. But if you're going to Tampa, make way. So we made way. And that guy came out, and he's leaving, the guy in front of me, you're going to Tampa? And he's just, give me my, he just, that's the kind of guy he was. He wasn't going to Tampa, but he's just going to get in front of everybody else. He was a bad player. Have a great week.